Okay, so continuing with the idea of caring of clothing, but a different aspect. We're going to leave Livun for now and go into kosher or mat, which is tying knots and untying knots. And a little introduction, and that is kosher is asur, and mat is also asur. But what is kosher? What is mat? So we have, the Gemara talks about already, there's different types of knots. And the Gemara uses an expression of permanent knots or special knots, a knot of an artisan versus knots that are not permanent or knots of someone who is not an artisan, someone who's a layman at least when it comes to knots. And there's a machlokes we show him, how do we paskin? And we come out and even the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah are differ as to how we paskin. But Lamaisa, so the Ramah says to be machmir on both of us. And therefore, it comes out approximately like this. A permanent knot, meaning that you're setting something up and you make a knot that you have no intention of ever opening, is the Issa D'oraisa. For example, a fisherman wants to make a net to throw out to the sea. So he knots the ropes together in order to create his net. And he has no interest in ever opening that knot again. This net is going to stay knotted until it disintegrates. He has no thought in his head, no consideration of ever opening such a knot. That is an example of a permanent. On the other hand, a knot that is not permanent at all is something that's mutter to do on Shabbos. And therefore, if you make a knot just to keep your shoes closed for the next hour or two, and then you want to take them off afterwards, then that's not a permanent knot, and that should be mutter. The only thing is, there's another criteria that's thrown into the equation. And according to the other Rishonim, it also includes whether the knot that you're making is an expert knot or not an expert knot. Not to do whether you are an expert or not, but whether the type of knot is considered an expert knot. And therefore, the Ramah paskins that since we don't know exactly what is an expert knot or not, pun intended, once it's what we call a double knot, a knot on top of a knot, then automatically that's considered an expert knot. And according to those shittas, the Rambam and those hold that once it's an expert knot, then if it has some permanence to it, it is forbidden on Shabbos. So essentially, and one more thing, and a knot that is not an expert knot and is not permanent would be mutter. So now we have the two extremes. The one extreme is if it's not permanent and it's not a expert knot, it is mutter. And if it is permanent or it's an expert knot, then it will be asur d'oraisa. And basically everything in between is the gray area, which we consider issur d'rabbanan. But because there's different shittas, so we're going to see that even within the d'rabbanans, we have leverage to decide what we're going to consider asur, what not considered asur, depending on the circumstances, if it's the makom atzer, if the makom mitzvah, if it's something that's important or urgent. So that's the basic guideline. One other thing I want to mention is what gives it a status of permanence and what's considered not permanent. So permanent is quite clear, is that you knot it with no intention of opening. Finished. The moment you have no intention of opening, that's considered permanent. What's defined as not permanent is more difficult. Some say that something that's going to be open within a 24-hour period is considered totally not permanent. And if it's more than that, then it depends. Some say it's a 3-day period, some say it's a 7-day period, some say it's a month period. And basically, the way we take the Shulchan Aruch is we try to, before we give a heter to open, to make a knot or to open a knot, we say that it must be one of those knots that's going to be loosened or undone within 24 hours. B'shas HaTzchak or B'shas HaTzorech, we say up to a week. It's interesting because one of the cases that's brought us as a proof is a well that's in the city square that everybody has to draw water from. And it seems to be from Chazal, they talk about the case of the rope snapped and a person brings a rope from home in order to tie to the bucket. And it says the normal thing is he leaves it there up to 3 days. And since within 3 days he's going to take it home again, so you see that 3 days is the definition. But Lamaisa Lahalocha, we have other proofs that it's 24 hours, and therefore we're going to go to Lachumra and say 24 hours. And B'mokum HaTzorech, we give up to a week. So based on that outline, on that guideline that we've set down, we now see what would be the din of knotting and unknotting things on Shabbos. So, to take, two strings and knot them together. You make a double knot, you take the two ends of the string and knot them together, you make a double knot, is considered also on Shabbos. Doesn't matter whether it's the same string and you're knotting the two ends, like a shoelace that goes through the holes in the shoe and comes out the other side and you have one, you're making a knot in the shoelace, or it doesn't matter whether it's two separate strings. You want to make a very long string and you tie two pieces of string together and you make a double knot to hold them together. If it's a double knot, which is defined as one knot on top of another, then that is also on Shabbos, but it depends on the permanence, whether it will be also midorais or midrabbanon, and what exceptions we have. But basically, that's number one, is making tying two strings together with a double knot is also. Another form of knot that's also is a single knot on a single thread. For example, you have a thread that's fraying, and you put a single knot on the end of the thread. Now it stops it from fraying. This is very often done on the end of tzitzis or something like that, where it starts fraying, so you want to put a knot into it. So that would constitute a single knot on a single thread. That is also awesome. Just as an aside, there are those who are machmir not to make extra knots in the tzitzis, and therefore they don't put a knot on the end of the tzitzis, and the way to stop them from fraying would be to put a little bit of glue on the tzitzis. In fact, today, most of the tzitzis that you buy come with a spot of glue on the very end that actually lasts for quite a while until the washing machine eventually gets rid of it. But you can just dip it into the bottom of a neck of see-through nail polish and let it dry, and then you've got a very good seal on the tzitzis, and halachically that's better than your knot. There's another type of knot where you would make a single knot on a single thread, the same design, let's call it, where you just loop the top of the knot, the thread around each other, around itself in order to make a knot. But instead of doing it with one thread, you do it with two threads. So you take two threads and you put the two ends together and then you slip it over and knot it. So that would be also a form of a single knot on the end of the thread, which is permanent. And that also, permanent isn't the fact that it's not going to come undone by itself. That would also be considered as a knot that would be also on Shabbos. Now the rule is that a knot that is also to make on Shabbos, you can't tighten such a knot on Shabbos. So if a knot came loose, what's most common is on tzitzis, when the tzitzis strings are knotted, we know that there's five knots with a twirl of the main shamash around in between, and it's closed off with a double knot. You take four strings on the one side and four strings on the other side, you make a single knot and you make a double knot. And it tends to open up very often, and you want to close and tighten them on Shabbos. That is also because even though the knot exists, tightening an existing knot is also on Shabbos. As a Eitzah Tova, you have children who wear tzitzis, and you want to avoid this from happening, avoid them from coming apart. The best thing is, since the tzitzis are made of wool, wool takes on the shape that it dries in. When wool is wet, you shape it, and then you leave it, and then when it dries, it takes on that shape. So if you wash a talis, for example, be very careful when you hang it, make sure you hang nice and straight, and so you put it over the line on the fold, and it will come up, but that the fold will come in and stay that way, and the talis will actually be much easier to iron afterwards. And so to the tzitzis, if you tighten the knot when the knot is wet and you let it dry that way, then there's a lot of chance it will actually stay that way. Whereas if you knot the tzitzis when they dry, then they tend to want to go back to their original shape of straight, which causes the knot to undo itself. If you have a knot that keeps on coming out, wet it, tighten it, and then let it set like that and hold itself a lot better. And then you won't have to come to tighten it on Shabbos. Anything which the normal is to make a double knot. If you only make one of the two knots on Shabbos, that will be 100% permissible. Obviously, that's not going to hold very well, but it's still permissible on Shabbos. If one knot was made already, whether it was made by yourself before Shabbos or yourself during Shabbos or made by someone else, and now you want to come and put a second knot in, but we said you can make one knot on Shabbos, but you can only make one knot on Shabbos when it's the first one. You can't come make a single knot on Shabbos when it will be the second knot. So if something had a knot inside it and you come and put the second knot in, that also is considered as strengthening the original knot and will be considered also on Shabbos. Another interesting example is if you make a triple knot. You want it to be extra strong. You do once, you do twice, and you do three times. So the third time, you would say, well, what's the point of the third time? If you've already done it twice, it's going to hold. The third time seems to be that it actually adds extra strength to it and makes it hold stronger, and less chance of the second one loosening up. So you make a third knot. That also is a problem on Shabbos because it gives permanence to what's underneath it. Now, there's an interesting situation. If you know how to make a knot that is not a double knot, but it has permanence. It is a good quality knot that will not come out by itself. So then, since it's not a double knot, it's not considered also in and of itself because of the type of knot. But then it depends on how long you're going to leave it that way, or rather how long the regular is to leave it that way. There are type of knots, slip knots or things like that, which if done correctly, can be permanent, can hold for forever and ever. They don't loosen and come undone by themselves, but they're not a double knot. So if you have a knot like that, so then it depends on the time factor. If it's the type of knot, if it's in the item or the type of knot that you make, and you always undo it within a 24-hour period, so then that type of knot, even though if you were to leave it, it would remain and it wouldn't come undone by itself. But since it's not a double knot and it is going to be opened within a 24-hour period, the normal is that you open within a 24-hour period, then it is 100% mutter to do it on Shabbos. If you don't usually open such a knot within a 24-hour period, you leave it for longer, the fact that this time you say you're only doing it for a short time doesn't help. Because we look at what type of knot is made, it's a type of knot that usually lasts 24 hours. So even though now you're making this knot for a short amount of time, nevertheless, it's not allowed to be done because of your decision for now. But rather we look at it as what type of knot it is. However, if it's a type of knot that gets undone within a week, so then b'machem tzar, b'machem mitzvah, or something like that, for example, you need to apply a bandage, and you don't have a hook or a pin to hold the bandage closed, you don't have another way to close it, but you know the bandage is going to be there for more than 24 hours, so then you can put this type of knot into the bandage to hold it closed, if it would be normal to open it within 7 days. So generally we say 7 days is not allowed, but b'machem tzar, person has a wound and he wants to put a bandage on, then we'll allow it. But otherwise, unless it's the type of bandage that's going to be open within 24 hours, we prefer that the person should look for another way of closing a bandage. What's another way? You have the hooks that you can use. You have pins that you can use. You can make a slip knot or a bow. But otherwise, if those are not aces, so then you could even make a double knot, make it loose, and then as long as it's going to be opened up within a week, then in the case of a wound, we'll allow it to be done. So another practical application of this would be a woman who wears a head covering that needs a knot at the back. So if a woman is the type that every time she removes this type of head covering, she undoes the knot, so then this gets a din of something which is always undone within 24 hours. So therefore, she may make knotted on Shabbos and then also unknotted when she takes it off. A double knot is a problem, so if she makes a double knot, so the Shmir Shabbos is make the knot not overly tight, and therefore it doesn't have the same permanence of a very tight double knot, to make it loose, and then you can use such a head covering on Shabbos. If a woman's habit is to leave the knot in and remove the head covering and leave the knot in and then put it on the next day, so, and then once in a while the knot comes out and she redoes it, well then don't redo it on Shabbos. Because even though if now she says, well, I'm only doing it for today and I'll make sure that within 24 hours I'll undo it. No, by her, the regular is to leave it for more than 24 hours. So the knot in her head covering becomes the type of knot that should not be made on Shabbos. And therefore, it doesn't help that she has the intention to do it on one day. So again, if a woman is the type that she always opens the knot within 24 hours, fine, she may make it and open it. If it's not, then she may not make it on Shabbos nor open it on Shabbos. Now, there's a Gemara that says that making a bow is permissible on Shabbos. A bow is a knot, essentially, where you don't put the thread all the way through. You only put half the thread through, and you leave the other half of the thread sticking out the original place, so that when you pull at it, then it slips out of its original place. So long as you don't pull on the thread on the side, the knot will hold. But when you pull on this, it becomes undone. We call that a slip knot, you call that a bow. And it says that making a bow on Shabbos, the question is, what are we referring to when we make a bow? When we tie our shoes, when you have laces in your shoes and you tie them, so generally speaking, what we do is we put a single knot in our shoe, in our lace, and then we make a bow on top of that. And that is a discussion in the poskim. Is that the bow that Chazal's talking about? Or does Chazal talk about a bow where there's just a bow without a knot underneath? And the accepted understanding is that a bow to be mutter must be just a bow, just a slip knot, and not with a knot underneath. Once it has a knot underneath, so it's already become similar to a double knot, which we don't allow on Shabbos. But here we're going to say that since this is the normal way to use it, and these type of knots are opened up within 24 hours, therefore it's mutter to do. So what's interesting is, although we paskin that bows are permitted to be made on Shabbos, even if they are down there for long term, nevertheless, the bows that we do are not as simple as that, and therefore it has to be that type of bow that's going to be open 24 hours. Practically speaking, that means if you are tying your shoes, if you are the type of person to open your laces before you take them off, so that means that you're probably going to be open the next 24 hours, then there's absolutely no problem to tie your shoes and with a knot and then a bow on top of it. That's not a problem whatsoever. You can do that. You can tie it and untie it without a problem. But if you're the type of person who kicks off your shoes, leaves the knots in place, and the next morning you slip them on again without undoing it, so now when you made that knot on a Sunday morning, you were going to leave it that way till Friday, so now it's going to be there for a couple of days, so then that becomes the type of knot that is not permitted to do, and even though it's an aniva, it's a bow, nevertheless, it's a bow on top of a knot, and we machmir that only a bow on top of a knot that is for very temporary use, such as within a day, can be made or undone on Shabbos. Another practical example, not so much practical for women, because it's talking about Kriyas HaTorah, but the post can talk about when you have the belt that is tied around the Sefer Torah in order to hold it closed. So they are different today. They've simplified it and you use a belt that has a buckle or a bit of Velcro, and therefore there's no problem of opening and closing on Shabbos. But there was a time before the invention of nice plastic buckles that they used just a bit of a longer belt, and then they tied it and made a bow in the tie. And according to this, if you make a kesher and then an aniv on top of it, you make a knot and then a bow on top, so it has to be done in a way that it's going to be open within the next 24 hours. But that's not always true. On Shabbos morning, when they put the Sefer Torah away, so true, they're going to take it out again for Shabbos afternoon. But after the reading on Shabbos afternoon, they have no intention of reading again till Monday morning. Or, if you have, for example, Parshas Zohar, so they take out the second Sefer Torah, so the first Sefer Torah is the Parshas Shavua, so that's going to be read again for Mincha, but the second Sefer Torah is the one that they use for the special Haftarah, the special Maftir, so they're not going to use it till the next time that happens. Parshas Zohar, you have then Parshas Parah, and then Parshas Chodesh, but after Parshas Chodesh, it's not going to be used till Yom Tov. Yom Tov is used till the next Yom. So you go for a longer period. Therefore, making a bow to close up the belt that holds the Sefer Torah closed would then be Asur, and the way to do it would then be to wrap the belt around it and tuck it in, and not to knot it. Now, we have a way, we have children, Baruch Hashem, who like to run around and are very active, and if you tie their shoelaces and just do the regular bow we do in our shoes, chances are by the time that kid comes home from wherever he's been, his shoes are going to be undone. So what do? We take the bow and we put another knot into the bow. We knot over the bow another time. The question is that permissible to do on Shabbos? So half the problem has disappeared because most of the shoes that are produced for children today are made of Velcro, which has the great advantage that they get those shoes on and off easily, and they can put them on and off by themselves. The disadvantage is that our children don't learn to knot their own shoes because they don't have shoes with laces. But anyway, what would be, you have a child with laces, or for your own sake, you have a type of shoes that the laces are long and you're tripping over them and the males always come undone. So your habit is to put a third knot inside what the So a third knot essentially is going to give more permanence to the knot underneath. And part of the heter of the Aniva Gabekesha is this is the way it's done, is you make a knot, a bow on top of the knot, and it's going to be open within 24 hours. To put a third knot in adds a little bit of permanence and makes it much closer to a original double knot. And therefore, even though it's going to be opened within 24 hours, we say that we're going to allow it only for Makom Hatzorich, meaning that there's more than just the regular need. It has to be more needed. And therefore, when it comes to children's shoes, because their knots come undone so quickly and they trip over them and they hurt themselves. So for safety of your children, then we want to put that third knot in, you knot the bow. That would be permitted on Shabbos for children. And also it must be that when they come home, those shoes are going to be unknotted and taken off and not just kicked and the knot left in. It's got to be undone within 4 hours. A single slip knot, an aniva, as they call it, a bow. If you have a way of doing it that doesn't have a knot underneath, but you have a slip knot that you can make that's purely one knot that's with a slip in it, so that would be permitted to do on Shabbos, even if it's for a long term, because that is the typical example of an aniva that we mutter. Our whole chumras on bows is because we put a single knot underneath and then a bow on top. But if the whole thing is a slip knot, then it would be mutter to do. And if you know how to do a slip knot on top of a slip knot, that also would be. I don't know how to do such a thing, I don't know what it is, but that's the halacha. To do a slip knot and then to put a regular knot on top would be problematic. You would look at it as a knot on top of a knot, and that would be awesome. When it comes to untying knots, the same rules as for tying knots applies in untying knots. In other words, if the knot you need to untie is that type of knot that you can make on Shabbos, then you can untie them Shabbos. If the knot you need to untie is that type of knot that you may not make on Shabbos, then you can't untie them Shabbos. It doesn't make a difference when the knot was made. It's a question of what have you got in front of you. So if you have a double knot that was made to be permanent forever, it doesn't matter when that knot was made, whether it was made 5 minutes ago or 5 years ago, undoing such a knot on Shabbos would be the case of Hatorah Daraisa, would be a Issu Min HaTorah to undo it. If you have a slip knot in front of you, so the same way it would make a slip knot, so you can undo the slip knot, doesn't matter when it was made, whether it was made 5 minutes ago or 5 years ago, you can undo a slip. And all the cases we mentioned in between, those that have to be undone in 24 hours or the Makom HaTorah if you have 7 days. So it's over here, you look at the knot and you ask, what type of knot do I have in front of me? What is the need? And according to whatever the rule is, the gabi making the knot, that's the rule of the gabi undoing the knot. Another point about undoing knots is that in order to be considered haftarah, in order to be considered as undoing the knot, it doesn't mean dafka that you're undoing it and pulling the knot apart from the original way it was made. Even if you cut the string next to the knot, that would also be considered as matir on Shabbos. So if you have a permanent knot in something, you need to get to what's inside, it doesn't help that you don't undo the knot. But if you cut next to it, that also would be haftarah. However, if you cut the string at a different place, that's a different sugya, that's tamaza. You have something tied, and you cut the string in half, so then, if it's at a different place, it's not the place of the knot, then most poskim hold that is mutter on Shabbos. Some say only when it's food, but generally speaking, most poskim hold that it's mutter on Shabbos, but there's no issue here of not stop machatech, unless you cut it into a particular size. So it's not machatech, and it's not korea, because it's not something that was sewn together and destroying. So there's no issue involved of stubborn cutting a string if you're not cutting it to size. Just don't cut it next to the knot, because that would be in place of the undoing, and that then gets considered as matir. Another 2 points before we end for today, and that is a knot that got entangled. And now you want to undo it, so we say that you may undo it on Shabbos, because there was no intention of making it a knot that's also, you made a knot that was mutter, and it got entangled by itself, and therefore you treat it as the knot that you made, and therefore you may undo it. A common example, again, in the days before we had all this Velcro and press studs, buttons and all the rest, but if you put a bib on a child, I mean, this is something that happens every time, you have a bib with a type of lace or strap that tied behind his neck, and when he is finished making a mess and pulling and everything, got his chonid all over his hair, And now you want to take that bib off and discover that you still have a child underneath it. And you look behind his neck, and what do you see? You see that that knot has turned from a lovely bow into a complicated knot. You don't have no clue how it got there. That is mutter to open on Shabbos, because that was not what you made. It happened by itself, and there's nothing permanent about it. A bib you put on just the time the child, then you take it off. Or the same thing if your shoes got slipped and something like that, and the knot turned into a more permanent knot. That was not what you made, but it happened. You may undo it on Shabbos. One other thing is more applicable for men than for women is a man wears a tie. A tie is considered a form of a knot. It's considered a little bit of a slip knot because in most times when you pull a tie out from one side, it will come undone. And therefore, that's treated more like a slip knot, but it has a certain amount of permanence. And therefore, we're going to say that the din of making a tie on Shabbos depends on the habit of the man who's wearing it. If he's the type of man who makes his tie knot, and when he takes them off, he undoes it, then there's absolutely no problem of making that knot on Shabbos, because it has no permanence whatsoever. You can make them and you can unmake. But if you're the type of person that makes your tie knot and you just loosen it and unloosen it and then tighten it to when you take it off and put it on, you slip it over your head and you don't take the knot out, then that gets the end of a permanent knot and cannot be made in Shabbos. And actually, I knew a boy who was not very good at making tie knots when he was younger. He got better and got older, and he got a friend to make a knot for him in his tie. He was about to bar mitzvah age, and he managed to keep that knot in his tie for 6 months because he just didn't want to do it again himself, and therefore he just kept the same knot. So that type of knot, taking it out on Shabbos and making it on Shabbos, also the fact that you loosen it and then you slip it over your head or you tighten it when you put it back on again is not considered what we said before, is you can't tighten an existing knot. That does not fall under that because the knot itself is not affected by the fact that you widen the neck ring or tighten it. That's just a slip that you do from the side and doesn't affect the knot. And therefore it would be mutter on Shabbos. And with that, we wish you all a very good day. And we meet again, Mitzvah Hashem, next week. And next week, we go back to the old times of 9:30.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're all welcome.